Living for today with an eye for tomorrow. This is the Voice of Vision broadcast.
I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior, for He is good. For He is good. I will rejoice.
Now, here's our teacher, Pastor J.D. Hatfield.
Well, hello there, friends. Once again, this is Pastor J.D. Hatfield of the Riverside Christian Fellowship in Hernando, Florida. As always, you can find us on the web at voiceofvision.org. From that site, you can find any of these posts in our archives. You can find the text of today's post that you're hearing right there on the front page. You can hear our sermons there. There's buttons all across the top. One says Riverside Christian Fellowship, and you can find out about the ministries we support and service times and a map and all that sort of thing. You can email me, Pastor JD, at voiceofvision.org. Well, today, friends, we are titling our message, Behold His Beauty. Romans 3:10 says, as it is written, none is righteous, no, not one. Let me go ahead and read Romans 3:10 through 18 as our background passage here, and you're going to see Jesus Christ's beauty in the midst of what seems to be nothing but negatives. Romans 3, let's look at verse 9 first. What then? Are we Jews any better off? No, not at all. For we have already charged that all, both Jews and Greeks, are under sin, as it is written. None is righteous, no, not one. No one understands. No one seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they have become worthless. No one does good, not even one. Their throat is an open grave. They use their tongues to deceive. The venom of asps is under their lips. Their mouth is full of curses and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. In their paths are ruin and misery, and the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Tough passage, isn't it? But see, friends, the Bible knows what it's doing. The Lord knew what He was doing when the Holy Spirit breathed out this book, and man best sees the marvelous beauty of Christ when it's set against the backdrop of sinful humanity in all its depravity. You see, that's the thing Paul's been spending chapters 1 and 2 of Romans and chapter 3 talking about man's need for Jesus Christ. And now he just gets to the bottom line here. In Romans 3:10 through 18, Paul uses quotations from the Psalms, Psalm 14, 1 through 3, Psalm 5, 9, Psalm 140, verse 3, Psalm 10, 7, and Psalm 36, 1. He also quotes from Isaiah 59, 7 and 8 to support the statement of verse 9 and 10. Both Jews and Greeks are under sin, and none is righteous, no, not one. A lot of people don't want to hear things like that because, you know, this type of look at the human condition is, well, it's depressing, isn't it? What's the point? Well, the Apostle Paul wants us to understand our complete inability to save ourselves. It's actually a hopeful message. We're hurt, in a sense, to be healed. We're wounded to be made well, put to death to be made alive. You see, if we see the depths of our sin, we can appreciate the magnitude of our deliverance. We must believe that we have the sickness so that we'll believe in and take the cure. We got to see the problem before the prescription. And that's what this is doing here. He's coming to the bottom line and saying, the Old Testament tells you, your human nature tells you, you know that this is true, you are a sinner in need of a Savior. Now, in looking at each of these six Old Testament quotes, Paul doesn't mean that every one of us has each one of this. It's not each one has the whole indictment in it, but that taken all together, they have the whole indictment. Psalm 14, 1 through 3, which is verses 10 through 12, refers to the Gentile world. While Isaiah 59, 7 and 8, which is verses 15 through 17 that we read, that refers to the Jews. The point is that the Old Testament declares that Jewish people are sinners and Gentile people are sinners. No one seeks for God. Now, what about all the religion and rituals and practices from the beginning of time? No one seeks after God? Seems like everybody's seeking after God. I mean, how many people talk about that? You know, they're seeking, and we have seeker-sensitive services. And what about all the religion and rituals and practices that from before time, you know, before we even recorded it until now? What about that? What about those people? What about these things? Well, see, if a man initiates the search, then he doesn't seek the true God, the God of the Bible. Instead, he seeks an idol that he makes himself, as Paul explained in Romans 1. Again, he's already said all of this, and he's leading up to where he is now, and now he's using the Old Testament scripture to back it up conclusively. He finishes off in verse 18 with, "There is no fear of God before their eyes." You know what it says in verse 23, very famous verse, right? Romans 3:23. All have fallen short of the glory of God. All have sinned. Now see, in Romans 1:18 through 3:18, we see ourselves and our whole race. We see our lack of power and our lack of purity. I'm not God. I don't deserve His kingdom. Neither do you. I realize that I deserve nothing but from God but His anger, and that I'm lost without hope if I do not receive grace from Him. I know this to be true. How about you? Now, having seen what we're all about, what about Jesus? Because, again, we titled this message, "Behold His Beauty." And that's the whole point, isn't it? And I'm just going to tell you right now, look at this in Romans 3:10 through 18, and see Him here in all His beauty. What, you say? This was talking about mankind and how awful we are. Yes, I say, against the backdrop of sinful humanity, we see the surpassing glory of Christ. Look at all the negative phrases in Romans 3:10 through 18 again, and see Christ as opposed to them in magnificent splendor, like a diamond set in a black box. You know, when you're going to buy some jewelry, it's always against a dark background a lot of times, right? Because that way it stands out, like a diamond in a black box. His radiance shines all the more brighter. So let's take a look at these verses. Again, as it is written, verse 10, "None is righteous, no, not one." But friends, we know Jesus was righteous. The Bible says, yes, He is the only one. Verse 11 says, "No one understands. No one seeks for God." But friends, Jesus did understand God. The Bible says He is the only one who has seen the Father. And He came from the Father. And Jesus is His Son. He is God. The Bible says that Jesus did seek God. He did things in the power of the Holy Spirit and asked what His Father's will was. He not only did what His Father wanted, He sought Him early in the morning and late at night at prayer, and He followed the lead of the Holy Spirit His whole life, even if it meant death. Remember, He said, "Not my will, but thine be done." If anybody sought after God, it was Jesus. So when it says no one understands, no one seeks for God, look at Jesus as opposed to that. How beautiful He is. Verse 12 says, "All have turned aside. Together they have become worthless. No one does good, not even one." Acts 10:38 says Jesus went about doing good, and the Holy Spirit was with Him. The Bible described Jesus as turning aside to do the work of the Father, turning aside to help others, not turning aside to His own selfish way. Jesus started out in a manger, but became more worth to the world than anyone else in history. While people are worthless in that sense, Jesus is worth everything. The Bible says Jesus went about doing good, healing people, and setting them free from oppression. Verse 13 says, "Their throat is an open grave. They use their tongues to deceive. The venom of asps is under their lips." But Jesus' throat wasn't an open grave. He called people out from the grave. When He died, people sprung forth from their graves. And when He returns, we will all come out of our graves. His tongue spoke no deceit. And in His lips, He had no poison. What did He say? His words were spirit, and they were life. Verse 14 says, "Their mouth," again, that's the human race, "their mouth is full of curses and bitterness." But Jesus' mouth was full of praising His Father, and His bitterness was sorrow for those that had caused curses upon themselves. Verse 15 says, "Their feet are swift to shed blood." But Jesus gave His own feet to be shed blood for those who didn't even love Him. Verse 16 says, "In their paths are ruin and misery, but in Jesus' path are resurrection and joy." Verse 17 says, "And the way of peace they have not known." But Jesus is called what? The Prince of Peace. Verse 18 says, "There is no fear of God before their eyes." The Bible in the Old Testament talks about the Messiah having the spirit of the fear of the Lord. Jesus only had eyes for his Father's will. And for your salvation, he said to the Father, "Not my will, but thine be done." Friends, you see all these negative things in here, and then you realize that as opposed to all these things, that we are in Adam, you know, that we are not actually seeking after God, that we've been separated by God, that we do bad things and we live bad lives, and even when we do our best, our righteousness is as filthy rags, but Jesus Christ is our Savior. He's the exact opposite. Who are you counting on? You see, Jesus was like us in that he had human flesh, but he was not like us in that he had no sin. Against the backdrop of all we've seen here, we can surely see that Jesus is the most beautiful, wonderful, marvelous, awesome being in the universe, and he bids us to come to him. If we will receive him, he will receive us into glory. You see, in this passage, I see my own sin, and I see my only Savior. Only Jesus is none of these things. Only Jesus is the antithesis of these things. Only Jesus stands out like a bright diamond against this black backdrop. No matter who you are looking to, they do not shine as brightly as Jesus compared to this. Jesus is our only Savior. He's the only one that can fulfill the righteousness that God requires by being perfect. You see, it is Jesus that I want. It is Jesus that I must have. It is Jesus that will truly fulfill me. It is Jesus that will pay the penalty for me. It is Jesus who will be righteousness for me. It is Jesus to whom I owe my love and my life. It is Jesus who will set me free. It is Jesus who will bring me back from the dead. It is Jesus who will give me eternal life. When you're looking at all the options for your life and the things that you want to do, and let's say you achieve everything that you ever wanted, do you still merit eternal life? If you become the brightest star in the universe compared to other people, when set against the backdrop of sinful humanity and the blackness there and what was actually in your heart, if it was revealed, even if you were the best person that's ever lived on this planet besides our Lord, how bright would you really stand out? Friends, not as bright as you need to be, not like the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is the one that I need. My question is, do you behold his beauty? Do you realize that you need Jesus? Is Jesus what you need? Again, Jesus, I know, is what I need. How about you? I want to pray. Heavenly Father, we can look at the disparity we see between Jesus and our own lives and become discouraged. And the truth is, we are nothing compared to him. But I thank God that you've shown his beauty even through our sinfulness, Lord, because in that sense, then we can see, when we see, Lord, the depths of our depravity compared to the heights of his holiness, then we know the measure of your love, and we thank you for our Lord Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. Friends, that's all the time we have for the Voice of Vision broadcast. We'll see you next time. This is Pastor J.D. Hatfield. God bless you.
Oh, yes, I'm glad to know my life is hid with Jesus, and that's where
see you next time on the Voice of Vision broadcast, where we are living for today with an eye for tomorrow.
And reveling with God eternally.